The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Welcome in, everybody. Frank Bassett joining you this morning for a special edition of Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews is somewhere in Dallas, probably still in bed. We'll wait and see if he joins us on the show. No, in all seriousness, it is a special edition of Golf Talk America. After a great week at the Quicken Loans, we thought we'd have a little fun today and bring in our good friend and the big kahuna from Secret Golf, who's our partner along with Golf Talk America, Mr. Steve Elkington, to help us do this show. Hey, Steve, good morning, buddy.
Good morning to you, Frank. I'm excited about this show, and there's a reason for that, and I'm going to leave it up to you.
Well, I don't know. This is pretty cool to bring him on after a great round on Sunday with one of the greatest players of all time. And Bronson Burgoon joins us live right now from the veranda at the Greenbrier with his coffee this morning. Good morning, Bronson.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
That's a pretty place you're sitting at right now, buddy.
It sure is. It's gorgeous out here. It's a little overcast, but it is fantastic.
Yeah, that's the good life. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Well, it's one of the greatest pieces of architecture in the South. I mean, it's just, I don't know if when anyone that's listening to this show that's been to the Greenbriers, the moment you see it, it's just wow, Bronson. Isn't it true?
There is a wow factor to it. My wife and I pulled up yesterday, and we saw the White House yesterday after I finished up. We went over and looked at the monuments and stuff in D.C. or on Sunday, I guess. And when we drove up yesterday, I was like, man, this needs to be the White House. This is unbelievable.
It really is. They have everything down there at Greenbrier for families, fishing. I mean, I've been there a couple times. I was so impressed with that place. And I guess, Frank, you may know this more than me, but that was a famous, it is a famous place where the man who owns that was a railroad guy, right? They used to bring the people down from the north. They would go right through there. Is that true?
That's right. That was a rail stop, just like the old Flagler Railway that went through Florida all the way to Key West. Same type of thing. Yeah, that was a big stop. A lot of big deals were done at the Greenbrier from the Rockefellers and the powers that be in those days. It's a very storied place, along with the fact that not too many years ago, or a couple of decades ago, our news media outed the Greenbrier, accidentally informing the world that that was where Congress and the president would go in the event of a nuclear attack. There's a bunker underground there, and it's capable of housing all of our Congress and our government for continuity or continuance of government in case of a nuclear attack. So at least our leaders in those days had the foresight of, if you're going to have to do it right and do it at a pretty place. And they did.
And, of course, West Virginia was the home of the great Sam Snead, who Bronson's going to be enjoying playing the white course this week at the Greenbrier, which was one of Sam Snead's favorite places, designed by Seth Rayner, we'll get into this at the end of the show, Frank, but Seth Rayner, for people that don't know that, was just a famous architect that did very quirky and different style features that were prominently shown on the white course at Greenbrier.
Yeah, just absolutely gorgeous place. Well, let's get into it. Bronson was he was front and center on CBS this week.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to have Bronson on the show this morning. We film, Bronson with Secret Golf, and we signed him this year, and now he's back on tour. We wanted to, kind of put a little perspective on this year. This is his first year back. He played the tour before, came out of A&M, won the national championship, got on tour, got injured, went through his medical. Very natural player for those that don't want to have too many swing thoughts, and I'll let him tell you himself if that's not true, but I've filmed him. Very natural, and I'm sure that was a great day Sunday playing with Tiger Woods. But I want to, Bronson, tell us about your year so far, because it's not that easy being, I don't want to call you a rookie, but it's almost like being a rookie, right?
It essentially is being a rookie. I mean, especially coming off the medical and then having to go through the web finals and getting back in the web category. And it's been a frustrating year for me. I mean, it's really tested my patience I was playing good during the web finals at two. I don't know if I finished sixth and fourth, or I don't know. It was basically two top six finishes, and went into Napa, and I was in, I was right there last nine holes on Sunday, and had a decent event, finished pretty well there, and then I broke a rib, and it's been an uphill battle ever since. And I've been scrambling in the last probably 2.5 months. I started getting a little bit of footing, and I knew it was coming at the Travelers. I missed the cut, but I knew my game was finally rounded into form. And, you know, last week was obviously a good week, and Sunday was probably the most fun I've ever had on the golf course.
And when you say that you started to find your footing, try to help us understand the people that, by the way, anyone that's seen Bronson swing, and you will now that you see him, you can see why he breaks a rib, but he's got a lot of speed. Try to help us understand how a player could miss the cut, but then you're starting to feel good about your game. Because I know the explanation. I mean, try to walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basically, you know, making a cut's not the easiest thing in the world on tour. These are the best players in the world, so you have a few missed putts that you should normally hole, or one bad shot that you know exactly what it was, and you can end up sitting the weekend out, but you played really well for the other 33 holes or 34 holes or whatever it might have been. You just know that it's coming, and that's the feeling I had. I missed the cut, I think, by two, maybe one. But I played really solid golf throughout, and I just didn't hole any putts. And then I had a debacle on the drivable 15th hole Travelers Championship around the green, and it cost me playing the weekend. But it's hard to relate, because when you hear, oh, you missed a cut, you just automatically assume that you're playing bad. Well, that's not the case at all. So,
you know, that goes hand in hand, Elk and Bronson, with what a lot of people are criticizing our friend Jordan Spieth. And he's saying week in and week out, I'm right there. I know I'm right there. And that explains it perfectly for our listeners. Is, you know, they don't really understand. A lot of our listeners don't understand what a tour player is going through a tour player's mind. And that was great to hear you explain that, Bronson. That was good.
Yeah, it's frustrating. There's no doubt about it, but it is what it is. I mean, yeah. It's the nature of the beast. So,
now, before we move on to Washington tournament, let's talk about how many events you've been in, and talk a little bit about, you know, your status and how you get in an event. Just so people know that just because you have a PGA Tour card doesn't mean you're in every week.
Yeah, no doubt. I get a lot of questions at the club I play at back home. When I'm home and there's an event going on, they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, yeah. So there's categories. And the category I'm in is not all the way down to the bottom, but it's pretty darn close. So the web.com category, which I'm in right now. So if you graduate off the web, you go into the web.com category. And then there's past champion categories and top 125 from the prior year. So there's different categories in every event, depending on the strength of field. It just depends. And it makes it, especially in the limited size fields, it makes it really tough for the guys in the web category to get in, no matter how well you played. So
you essentially have a number, and there's only,
exactly,
for example, this week there's 148 guys playing, and your number may be number 200, but there's 50 guys that aren't playing, so that means you're in, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so I have a number every week, and I just, especially when I'm outside the number, I just hope for withdrawals, and I have to sit back and wait and hopefully get a phone call on Monday or Tuesday. So it came, I mean, and that's been my year. It's been 1 week on, two or three off, 1 week on, two or three off, 1 week on, you know, 1 week off. And it's really hard to get in any sort of rhythm. So this will be the first time really all year that I'm going to be playing consecutive weeks and, you know, to close out the year. So it should be good.
So you're in this week, and you'll be in the deer next week.
Yep.
And then you keep going and play the week opposite the British?
No, I'll be jumping the pond to go to the British. I qualified for the British.
Yep. Qualified this past week.
You're in it?
Yes, he's in it.
I'm in it.
Yeah.
Mate, that's something I left out of your text the other night, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't find that out. Well, I found out whenever I finished that I was. So,
wow.
Really exciting.
Hey, Elk, how do you think he's going to like Carnoustie? That's a baptism by fire.
Well, I put it this way. If I had his game, then I wouldn't be worried at all about Carnoustie because it's a striker's paradise, and it's one of the courses that I never mastered Carnoustie. I played two opens there. I think I just could not score on that course for some reason. It's difficult, but Bronson's long and I think the way he's feeling about his game, he couldn't be better. Couldn't be better set to go over there.
Yeah, Bronson. Let me ask you this: when you talk about 1 week on, 1 week off, you're waiting possibly for someone to withdraw so you can get in. How difficult is it as a tour player in those circumstances to get that phone call and then have to scramble, get ready, get there? Possibly not get to survey the course as well as you would like. Speak to how difficult that is playing that way.
I mean, especially being a rookie, it's extremely difficult because you got to think these guys that you're playing against have been out here anywhere from 5 to 15, 20 years, and they know the golf course like the back of their hand, and they're playing a practice round, and then you get a phone call and you've never played a course and you don't even get a practice round, and and you're running around like a chicken with the head cut off, and you're trying to figure out, how to compete. And so it is tough, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that would want that opportunity.
Sure.
And, you can't take that for granted. So you just got to go out there and do the best you can with whatever preparation you have.
The only solace that we have in that scenario is that everyone had to go through that at some point. They had to, not everyone, but most everyone.
Most
had
people.
To do,
yes.
Most people have to fight their way up into the middle of the pack. That's the way it is on the tour.
No doubt.
Now, as we move now from Travelers up to Washington, let's go now to the Quicken Loans event where you finished top 10 and play with Tiger on Sunday. Tell us how your week started.
As far as the first round?
Yeah, just, you said you came off Travelers, you were feeling good. How were you able to par? What was what was the swing? What was feeling,
Yeah, so I've been driving the ball pretty well for the last few months, which, Elk, when you're driving the ball, the game becomes a lot easier. And I think right now I'm number 3 or 4 in total driving on tour. And I just haven't been able to hold any putts, and then it's just been one or two shots that have just kind of, second shot into a par five, making a par with, 5 iron in your hand or whatever it might be. And I really focused on my patience this past week. I was so frustrated after Travelers, I couldn't see straight. So I really just said, okay, take a deep breath and just don't worry about the results and just go out and play golf and see what happens. Cause what you're doing right now has not been working for you. And, so that's exactly what I did. I tried not even know what I was at and just go out and play golf. And the TPC Potomac, that's a tough golf course. It's probably one of the tougher ones all year. And that's what makes Molinari, whatever. I don't know what he was drinking that week, but and that was.
He said he was eating pasta. He said that's the secret. He's Italian.
Oh my God! I need some pasta because that was incredible. 21 under par on that golf course. Good for him. I just stayed to a game plan, and I never got frustrated. I didn't think about you need to make birdie here. You need to make this putt. And I just played throughout the week, and obviously it paid off.
So, by the way, folks that are listening here, when you think of when Bronson said he's driving the ball well, think Dustin Johnson and Jason Day combined together. Wherever he is in your mind in the fairway, that's Bronson. You haven't seen him on TV much, but he's probably going to be sitting right next to those guys. So you find yourself on Saturday night, 7 under total, in good shape.
Yep. Yep.
And you're like all the rest of us are watching TV. And what was your initial thought? We're going to walk through this a little bit, that the Tiger's coming in and you saw the crowd and we're going to hear about it. But what was your initial thought when you thought, oh my God, I may get paired with him tomorrow.
So, I mean, I'll be honest, I was so excited because it was looking like Bo Hostler had two holes to play, and if he parred his last two, I knew I was going to play with him. And I'm sitting there watching the TV, and I was ecstatic. And then Bo made a bogey on 17, and my heart sank. And then he he drove it in the fairway on 18. He had a wedge in. I'm like, okay, there's still a chance. And right when he hit his wedge, he dropped the club. And I'm like, oh, no. And he pulled it 40 feet left of the hole. And I'm thinking, man. So sure enough, he rolled it in. And as stupid as it sounds, Elk, I was so ecstatic to get paired with him. I have looked up to Tiger's golf game, and I mean, he was my childhood idol. I mean, I love the guy, and I still do. I mean, what he's done, I mean, I don't think there's he's the greatest golfer in the world, or ever to live, in my opinion. And I wanted a chance to, especially on a Sunday in contention, to go toe to toe and see how I stack up. And I loved every second of it. I'm not afraid of the situation. I may suck at times on the golf course, but it's not because I'm nervous. I can assure you. I don't get nervous playing golf. That's, I mean, I have nerves, but going against somebody is not going to, you know, really give me the jitters.
What was it like, Bronson, with the crowds? I mean, we saw them on TV.
That
I wasn't at the tournament.
Insane. I've never seen.
Let's go to Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Now.
Yep.
And by the way, Frank and listeners, Bronson comes from an athletic family. His dad was a baseball pitcher, right?
Yep. He was.
So you've been around a lot of athletes. If you look
My
at Bronson, he's an athletic guy, thin, strong, tons of speed. Played baseball, could be a baseball player. So I got to be honest, I'm sure when Tiger saw you and how limber you are, I can't wait to hear the story, but I don't know if this is coming, but I'm sure he loved watching you play. Go ahead and tell us what Sunday morning was like for you going to the range. It's a new idea, right? New thing coming on board.
So I knew I would have a little bit more energy Sunday morning. So I usually get a pre-round lift in, and I actually lifted pretty hard Sunday morning. I thought, you know what, I'm going to just exert a little bit more energy.
When you say for Frank and I, this is our benefit, of course, yeah. Frank, when you say you lift heavy.
It's different than what we mean by it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do?
I go to the gym, and I normally don't, because I'm not trying to get big by any stretch of the imagination. So I lift pretty light weights. There's a ton of guys who lift so much heavier than I do out here. But Sunday morning I lifted a little bit heavier than normal. You know, I went, if I'm doing, you know, overhead press, with 30s, you know, I was doing 40s, you know, or whatever. I just did a little bit more just to exert a little bit more energy, because I knew that I was going to have adrenaline out the, you know, wazoo. Yeah. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I was semi level or comparable to where I normally
So you were
play.
Trying to knock off a little steam.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. And I did that, and I'm glad I did it. And when I got to the golf course, it was hilarious. I walked into the clubhouse, and I felt like the guys in the locker room looked at me like it was my funeral or something. I mean, literally, they looked at me like I had five eyes.
I know.
I'm thinking, what is going on here? This is going to be the greatest day of my golfing life right now. Like, I am so thrilled. And I told my wife, I go, man, you would think that, you know, I'm just going to enjoy it and love the challenge of it. And,
First of all, right out of the gate, and you and I have spoken about this a lot, and you've got the right attitude already, Frank. Don't you sense?
Oh, absolutely. That's the way to play it. I mean, I love it. I mean, don't be intimidated by anyone, because you know, you shouldn't be. My God.
No, I mean, we're playing golf. We're not going to we're not going to war. I'm not over in Iraq.
Exactly.
You're not throwing rocks at one another.
Exactly. I'm not an MMA fighter. I'm playing golf.
So did you say anything to some of the other players? Say, what? Who died? What's going on, boys?
No.
Nobody will talk to him.
No one actually really did talk to him. A couple guys came up and wished me luck and told me to enjoy it. And Phil Blackmore came over and had some words of advice for me. But
I love Phil. He's hilarious.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah, he is.
Phil Black Mule. Were you calling Black Mule?
We have some stories about your friend Phil. Sometime ask him about teaching Frank the fundamentals of the golf swing in a bar at 1 a.m.
Oh,
dear. Oh, yeah.
Fair enough. I can see where that's going. It was a great warm up. It was. You know, anytime you're near the lead on Sunday, you know, you're going to have that extra level of just there's something in the air.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And when Tiger's there, there's a lot of stuff in the air. And it was pretty special. I mean, when he walked on the first tee, I was already standing on the tee box.
Yeah, he always comes last. Just
last second.
That's last second. That's Jack's rule. Where you know that's if you're not already nervous about playing with him, he's not there first. He comes last like a guy like a famous person out of the on an opera stage, and then boom, there he is, all sweating, ready to go, and he's red, right?
It was something I've never heard before. It's funny right now, Joel Damon's walking in front of me and he had the opportunity to play with Tiger the day before I did.
And he also had a good attitude.
He played great.
Tell him that I was proud for him because I read his comments that he had the right attitude about, he wrote about the right attitude.
Yeah.
So you hadn't even met Tiger at this point?
No.
Never met him. Wow.
I've seen him obviously around this year, and then the closest I've ever been to him, I'll never forget. I qualified for the U.S. Open when I was an amateur, and we were putting at the same hole, and I was just in awe. I was just like, "Oh my goodness, he looked like a superhuman to me." it was pretty cool.
He's pretty superhuman. And,
I've taught and told Bronson, I'm not taking any, but I've said when you get a chance to play with. A top player, in this case Tiger Woods or Jack or whoever it was in my day, you have a really distinct chance, Frank, and I'm inching towards this story where, you know, a couple things can happen, right? You can see what they're doing, A. You can B, steal all their energy. He's already talked about their energy, and C, and he's already did this, he shot 67 on Sunday. Now everyone else knows that Bronson, he's now in their head because even though they played, you know, good with Tiger. So birdie.
Yeah. So it was awesome. I mean, the first tee ball was so electric. It was so incredible. I hit a perfect, I tried to hit a little butter cut and I just peeled it right out there in the middle of the fairway and hit a lob wedge from 120. I knew I was juiced. So I hit a lob wedge from 120 to about, 8 feet, 10 feet and right in the middle of the hole. And then the next hole.
Were you nervous at that point, or were you just like jazzed?
I was, but in a good way. I was nervous in a good way. And
what did Tiger say to you? Anything yet? Did he know you?
He said good birdie. He said or good three, and then he held a good putt for par. And you know, I was like, hey, good save, thanks. And then the next hole, I just careened one right off the tee, and
par five, right?
Par five, yeah. And,
over the hill?
Over the hill.
And how much did you smoke it past him on that one?
Well, it was kind of not fair because he hit it in the rough. I mean, I was a good 60 in front of him because he hit it in the rough. So, yeah, I flew it right over the middle of the bunk, and it trails off down the fairway. And where he flew it, his ball probably didn't roll a foot. I mean, not even a foot.
Did he say anything to you during the round about your swing or anything?
So he asked me what sport I, on the third, fourth hole, he asked me, what sport did you grow up playing? Because, you know, your body type. And I said, I played baseball. And he goes, yeah, because you don't look like a golfer. He goes, you have the body of a baseball player.
Yeah, which you do, which is, I think, is a compliment because you have so much speed and you got big legs and you've got all that natural speed. So did he ask you any other questions about your swing or just after that was it there?
We didn't talk much about any kind of swing mechanics or anything like that. I mean, he wanted to know my past and, you know, he was like, you know, we talked about my dad playing baseball and his dad which I didn't know, was the first black baseball player in the Big Seven. He was the catcher. And I never knew that about Tiger, and I thought I knew a lot. And we got into some really cool conversations, and just kind of him growing up, playing different sports and running track, and, you know, talked about, you know, my brother, and, you know, so it was really cool.
So was there a hole where you guys both edited out? I'm just curious, because I know how far you move it.
There was one that we both, you could tell, got into it. And
what hole was that?
That was on 15.
Oh, over the hill.
Over the hill, yeah.
What happened there?
I was a few in front of him. I was about 10, 15 in front of him.
Did he look at you? Did he raise his eyebrows or anything? Or?
No. He didn't say.
He was grinding then.
He was, and I'll tell you, our irons are identical lengths. Like, it was so great playing with him, because I mean, I guarantee we're within a yard or two with every iron in the bag.
Yeah.
And I think off the tee, I probably, you know, 8 to 12, 15 in front of him, I would assume. Yeah. But gosh, I've watched every shot he hit. It's gorgeous. His golf swing, he's back. He's back.
And what did you learn? What did you learn? I mean, I know what I learned when I play with those guys. They keep that foot down, right? What did you learn?
You know, I just learned he did the same thing every time. He was so consistent. His professionalism, as far as that standpoint, was off the charts.
Yeah.
You're
talking about his etiquette when playing with someone is off the charts, right? That's the way most greats are. The etiquette is there, right?
Yes, everything from etiquette to his routine to his tempo to everything was the same every single time. And it was pretty awesome to watch.
Do you notice that he doesn't see anything? Like, he doesn't – the crowd is – like,
nothing.
He sees everything, but he doesn't care less, right?
Nothing. I mean, like I said, the stuff that was coming out of the crowds – it was insane. Yeah. I mean, and he didn't even acknowledge one thing.
Yeah.
And he does a really good job keeping his eyes down the fairway, too. His eyes never wander around. They stay down the fairway, and, you know, you can tell he's in what he's doing. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And even now, Bronson, he's so much different than when I first started watching him. When he and Elk, you can speak to this. He was more focused, more intense, and less chatty for years when he was in the throes of the best years of his life in the game. So he's gotten a little, to me, he's a little more loose or friendly, if you will, better word, than he used to be. And the question that came up on the Golf Channel and CBS, Jim Nantz asked it also, Elk and Bronson, is, do you think that because he's not as focused or as intense as he once was in his prime, does that adversely affect his game?
No, I think
he's as focused, because you can't be any more focused than he is when he's playing shots. I just think there's less pressure on him, so he's able to breathe a little bit. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 70 wins, 10 wins in a year, and there's a lot of pressure, right? So there's no time to be chatty. I'm guessing, of course, Bronson.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to Joel. I don't know how much conversation they had. But I actually had a reporter come up to me, and he said he's been covering Tiger since 96. And I mean, he was shocked. He goes, I've never seen Tiger have more candid conversations with someone in a round of golf in my life. I mean, we talked.
Yeah.
Nearly every hole.
We noticed that on television.
Yeah. And we laughed. And I mean, we were digging at each other, and I just met the guy, and it was awesome.
Oh, that's cool, man. And then you finished the round off. You capped. It couldn't have been better, right? You birdied the last hole. Tell us about that shot.
Huge. So it was funny, because I knew going into the week about the British, you know, the top five qualifiers that aren't exempt.
Wasn't in your mind on Sunday. There was too many things in there, right?
Elk, unbelievable, right? It wasn't even in the stratosphere for me.
Yeah.
And then we're sitting on tea, and I asked Tiger, I go, what's up next for you, British? And he goes, yeah, but I got to go over there a little early. You know, I got some functions I got to attend to and stuff like that. And then right when I said that, I go, man.
Oh, man.
I could be playing the British. And then I looked at the leaderboard, and I'm like, I got to birdie the last hole. And so the entire last hole, the only thing I was thinking, well, that and Tiger and I had a little game going, birdie game. I needed birdie on that last hole as well. But
there's no gambling at Bushwood. No, there's no gambling.
No, there was no. We just had a little fun game going.
Yeah.
And, he wanted to beat you, by the way. I know that.
Oh, he did. I know. I mean, he made sure that I knew every time he made a birdie. Or every time he made a birdie. So I let him know when I made a birdie too. one time it was a little awkward though, cause he just missed like a 3-footer and I still let him know. I was like, all right, I don't know if you noticed, but
I don't know if you noticed this, but, I'm still, I got one that he didn't.
We thought he had had a heart attack over that putt that he pulled left.
I'll tell you, Tiger,
he just didn't move.
He should have shot 10 under par when I played with him.
Yeah.
It was so impressive, and I hit it good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I didn't by any means flush it all the way around, but for the most part, I hit it pretty good, and I really feel like Tiger should have shot about 8 to 11 under par. I mean, he missed putts that you just don't ever see Tiger miss, and he's hitting
it
so good.
It's well noted that he's working on his stroke, and that'll come around, because I wouldn't be surprised if you see him back with his old faithful putter. He talked on the week that he was looking for something in his stroke, and I'm not even going to go into it because it's been already bashed around for hours. But, the last thing that I worry about with Tiger Woods is his putting.
It's so pretty to watch. His putting stroke is magical.
The prettiest grip
ever. It's just like the putter just sits perfectly in his hands every time it's incredible. Yeah. It really is.
And he's not fiddled around with that grip at all. It's still the same grip from his amateur days.
He shouldn't.
The old pin grip.
We're talking about Frank. The way his hands sit on there too. We're going into something a little bit, but he's beautiful long fingers, Bronson. Big, long, skinny fingers.
And they just wrap around the club. I mean, it looks like he's going to make every putt whenever he's standing over it.
I got little fat fingers, look like two packs of sausages. So I've never liked the way my grip looks, but I love the way his looked on a putter. God,
that's hilarious. Funny.
You bashed it down 18.
I hammered one. Yeah, I hit just a baby cut right down the right center of the fairway, and I had 152 across wind, and the ball was flying for me, obviously, with the adrenaline. I just kind of punched a little draw pitching wedge in there. And, it was awesome.
Thank you, CBS, for finally showing you just putting over there watching Tiger, putting a cough drop in his mouth or something. Whatever, it's...
Yeah, they do. They all do. Yeah, we said Bronson Burgoon.
So you didn't know about the British, but we saw it on CBS. You shook hands. Your wife was there. You had your buddies there. You took a picture with Tiger, and that was the, kind of the end
icing on the cake. Yeah,
icing on the cake. And then you found out you won the British. Oh, you're in the British. You won a boatload of cash, boatload of points. Could anything have gone better?
No, it was honestly one of the better days I've ever had, and it was, for me growing up, Tiger, like my childhood years, there was nobody else. Like everyone in my generation, like right around 3 to 5 years from me, I don't care who you are, you idolize the guy. Yeah. Everyone tried to swing like him. Everyone tried to act like him. Everyone wanted to putt like him. Everyone wanted to be him.
Yeah.
And
now you played with him.
And he was wearing a red shirt. And that's what was most fun. And
you're right. I forgot about that. And my son, by the way, is in the same category with you. He believes he believes that every shot is going to be this just, the greatness is going to come out, which, hey, sounds like
it's there. So, Elk, I'm telling you, I was blown. He's going to win, and he's going to start winning a lot again. He hit it so flush. the whole way around.
He always did. He always hit it so flush out of the center of the face. I mean, he may push and pull it, but it's just smashed.
I mean, and his irons were just, oh, gosh.
Slaughters him.
Yes. And I thought I've only, you know, I pride myself on being a pretty good ball striker, right? Like,
yeah. And which you are.
But I watched every shot he hit, and I normally never watch. And he, because it was that much fun to watch. It was just incredible.
Well, this week, Bronson, for you should be not quite as intense. Maybe a little let down, but it's still going to be a lot of fun out there at the Greenbrier for you, I'm sure.
Coming off the high. Every week out here on the PGA Tour is fun. Yeah. I mean, if you're not having fun out here, you need to get something checked in your brain. it's a really cool deal every week.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to watch people like yourself. I'm getting older. Elk's getting older. He doesn't want to admit it, but he is.
I'm listening.
Okay, there you go. He's still there. No, it's fun for me to come from what I did previously in the music world and software business, doesn't match, to be now in the golf world and be out on the PGA Tour inside the ropes, whereas before I was always there either paying to play in a pro-am or just being a volunteer or being at the tournaments. And you're right. To be out on the PGA Tour week after week, whether you're a player are in the media, are part of it, part of the inner circle of the PGA Tour, is as exciting as it gets.
Really. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Well, Bronson, listen, mate, we wanted to thank you. Of course, we know we made the right decision with you. We're ahead of the curve, but for those people listening to this podcast, they'll now be big Bronson Bagoon fans, and they're going to be watching you play the rest of the summer, mate. And I cannot even wait to hear from you when you get back from the British Open. Some of our Diane Knox will be over there, so we'll get her to track you down and get a first impression of what Carnoustie. But this week at the Greenbrier, mate, have a good time. Your game obviously is right there. I would tell you just stay even slower because you're still riding high, but you know what to do, mate.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the rest of the year. It's I've been working hard, and like I said, I can feel it coming together. So it's should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Hey, Bronson, thanks for joining us on Golf Talk America. And
no,
please,
oh gosh,
don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger. Hey, come back anytime you want
anytime.
To. Thanks,
anytime.
Buddy.
I'll talk to you, B.
Have a good week.
Good, Elk.
Play well.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See ya.
Bye.
So,
hey, Frank.
So, Elk, I'm still
go.
Here.
I'm going to go fill up my coffee cup, and I just texted Ryan.
Okay, well, we're still live, so let's.
Okay, well,
I'm going to fill up my coffee cup. You fill up your coffee cup. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have another.
So I won't put the phone down. Just put it down. Don't hang up.
Yeah, don't hang up. We'll just take a pause, and we'll be back right after this short, brief break. There it is. There's the music. Get the blender out. Cut the music off. Turn on the blender. Steve Elkington's still with us. We're having a great show today, a special edition of Golf Talk America and Secret Golf together with a bunch of secret golfers having a lot of fun. Bronson was fabulous, was he not, Steve?
Bronson, I think our next guest will concede that Bronson Bagoon is probably one of the gifted swingers we have from a young guy out on tour. He's just been sort of waiting his turn, so to speak.
Yeah.
But we've also got a guy who's also been waiting his turn, Frank, on the line.
Yeah, a fellow Aussie of yours, as a matter of fact. So I'll let you introduce him.
Well, you know, I know how to pick him, mate.
Yeah, you do.
At Secret Golf. Rian Gibson is on the line from Lismore, Australia. God, what a place.
Is it that bad, Rian? How you doing, buddy?
Let's just say I was happy to move out of there.
Oh.
It's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there, is what we say.
Yeah, you're a couple of footsteps away.
I thought that was Wagga Wagga. I don't know. Okay. Hey, Rian.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, Rian, welcome to Golf Talk America. It's good to have an Oklahoma Christian University guy on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, listen, I've got to ask you. You majored in finance at OCU, right?
I did, correct. Yep.
I should have you here at the house right now managing my abysmal finances.
Well,
I need
I'm
help.
Right there with you, trust me.
Oh,
I'm pretty abysmal as well.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your week to join us. We certainly appreciate it, and looking forward to seeing you more on secretgolf.com too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks for having us on.
And there's a reason, of course, that I wanted to have Ian on the show today. He's playing the web.com this year. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what does it take? You know, what are the goals? You know, a lot of people don't understand, listeners, what's the web. The web.com tour is basically now, what do they call it, AAA? You graduate now. The top 25 players that earn the most money on the web.com graduate automatically to the PGA Tour the following season. Rian happens to be the holder of the Guinness Book of Records, Frank, for the lowest round in a competitive in a tournament of 55 majors.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And we brought him on the show today. He is, of course, he and I correspond all the time together, but he is well on his way to getting in the top 25. And he had a disappointing Sunday last week where he was leading the tournament. And before we go into all that, mate, let's talk about the web this year and what it's been like for you and a lot of travel, a lot of overseas work. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I guess you probably explained it the best. The PGA Tour have done away with Q School, so they've kind of implemented the baseball system, you know, the 2A, the 3A, minors, majors. So the only way now to get on the PGA Tour is via the web. So we're out here kind of each week. It's pretty cutthroat out here. It's really competitive. We have a 22-event schedule, and we have probably 5 to 6 events overseas. We're not playing for a whole lot of money, but the end goal being we want to be in that top 25 to get a card for the following year. So yeah, that's pretty much in layman's terms how the system works.
We don't, Rian, speak to this for me. We hear week in and week out how, and you said it, how competitive the web.com tour is. I've heard that it's probably more difficult to win a web.com event than it is a PGA Tour event. Honestly,
I would probably agree with that. There are some factors that contribute to that for sure. For instance, the course we played last week, pretty simple. We had great weather. The cut was 6 under par. you could literally shoot 3 under, 2 under, and you're packing your bags going home. So, yeah, if you kind of get off to a bad start in one round, you're just clawing your way back. You know, and it's you go from thinking about trying to win an event to just trying to make good money, you know. So very competitive. The guys out here are very good. I think people underestimate how good the players are out here. And like I said, it's cutthroat. So when we're playing for our lives, like, you know, we want to make sure we beat the guy we're playing with. Because at the end of the day, I might get on the tour and that might lead to a multi-million dollar career, and that guy might not. He may never get on tour. So very competitive out here for sure.
And Frank, the reason that it's difficult to win on the web is the course, the players are all very good. We know that. The course is not to separate the players as much as it is on the tour. And that by that being said, think Shinnecock. If you're not playing too well at Shinnecock, you're out. You're done. You're cooked. You're barbecued. It's over. And because they're smaller events, Rian, is it true that you know, there's not sometimes that separation of the course, right?
There's definitely average. Yeah, probably 70-80% of the courses we play, there's very little separation. The cuts are always between 3, 4, 5 under par. The 1 year I've spent on the PGA Tour, a lot of the cuts, you know, range from 1 over to 1 under. So you can still play average golf, but steady golf and make the cuts out there. Another factor that goes into it, there's 156 hungry guys out here. And the cut's only 65. So we're cutting, you know, almost 100 guys each week, which is a lot. So big fields and smaller cuts mean more people
more
don't
money,
get to play
though.
The weekend.
More money for the guys that make the cut, right?
That's true. But it is very top heavy. Like, you need to be to really solidify a spot in the 25. Probably 90% of the guys that get a card will win out here. Because it is so top heavy, it's still the same percentage breakdown of the PGA Tour. 18% goes to the winner. So 18% of 600,000 is obviously about 108,000. So that's quite a lot of money taken away, and then to split the rest with the guys that make the cut.
Let's talk, Elk, let's talk about the course setup on the web.com as opposed to the PGA Tour and the courses. Of course, the spectators aren't as thick, so if you spray the ball or you have a bad shot, you're not going to have the advantage of coming off of grandma's forehead to get it back in the fairway.
Well, I'm saying that, you know, on the PGA Tour, they've got more resources. They can do more things with the course. They can make it tougher by rough, et cetera, whereas they don't put the budget into some of these events that are so that I'm just saying that the on the web, the course doesn't separate the field as much as some of the PGA Tour events. I mean, I think of courses on the PGA Tour when I was there, when I think of Doral or I think of Riviera or I think of Pebble Beach, these are courses that separate the field, right? If you're not hitting the ball well, you're out the window. And what happens normally when, as Ream was saying, when you get a lot of guys that aggregate towards the top. Now, last week, Konrad Schindler tweeted while Ream was still on the course, and he said 20 under may not be in the top 10 this week. That was last week on the web. It was close. I think it was 20 under finished tied sixth or something. That's a lot under. Yeah, my theory there is it's just everyone was playing the course. Yeah, it was a pretty easy track, I'm sure.
I'll jump in there too. It is funny because, you know, three or four times a year on this tour, we actually play some really high level, high difficult golf courses. For instance,
the one in Illinois, right? The Illinois,
Evansville, Indiana, Victoria National.
Tough track.
Course we play on tour. Yeah, exactly. And that's a course that is PGA Tour level, which actually will separate the field, and you'll see that in scores.
Secret Golf, Jason Gore was, I think, second last year, like, what, one under, two under?
Yeah, possibly, like yeah. I think the cut this year was three or four over, which is, if you get an over par cut on the web, you know something's up, you know?
Yeah.
And then we are lucky that when we do get to our equivalent of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the web.com playoffs, we do have a couple of courses in there which are tour level, tour caliber golf courses. So you kind of get the cream rise to the top, you know, with regards to who's playing well, who's hitting it well that week, who's making the putts. So you kind of see the better player kind of rise to the top in that instance for sure.
Yeah, and you've had a tremendous start to this year. We'll talk about that in just a second. But do you guys on web know what it's going to take money-wise to be top 25?
You kind of have a ballpark figure. It's hard to figure it out exactly, but each year it's roughly anywhere between 150,000 to 165,000. There is one more event, an extra event this year, which added more money to the total prize pool. But yeah, a lot depends on how the money falls. If a guy wins two or three times, for instance, or yeah, a lot just depends on who's playing well and who's taking the money.
Yeah. So let's talk about your year. Explain to us where you are. You're pretty well situated on the money list right now. You had two really top finishes early. Give us the update on that.
So I just fell out of the 25. I am 28th on the money list now. As we alluded to earlier, a little disappointing Sunday 2 days ago, but so right there, had a really good start to the year. Had back-to-back third-place finishes down in the Bahamas, which was awesome. Kind of had a rough year last year. Really worked hard on my game over the off-season, or what you guys would know as off-season. I went down to Australia, as you would know, Elk, and played our big Australian events, the Open and the PGA, and kind of found some form and brought that back to the States. And, early January, had two great weeks in the Bahamas, which kind of put me in a really good spot going forward. Kind of had a little bit of a lull here lately in the
fall. Yeah, well, that happens. Potentially you're one, you know, big week away from securing, right?
And exactly, so
Let's talk about you were 20 under par. Is that right? After three rounds last
19 under par, correct.
Yeah, and it finished up 26, wasn't it?
26, yep.
Which is hard to even believe that the leader got 7 under. You didn't have a good Sunday that day, but that's okay. Tell us about what are you up against when you go into what's it mentally like, you know, when you know that you could have a great day on Sunday and sort of position yourself for a next year job, right? Potentially the
yeah, absolutely. Job. No,
a lot of pressure.
I think so. I think there was pressure that I probably didn't actually make aware to myself. You know, probably deep down I knew there was pressure in there that I didn't actually have to win to lock up a card for next year. But I think there's some factors in there of that may have affected me on Sunday. But You know, I mean, and as I told a reporter Saturday afternoon, I mean, if you'd given me that position Thursday morning, I would have taken it. So the more and more I can put myself in that position, the more and more I'm going to be better for it. So,
Yeah, for sure. You won't do whatever happened this one again. You'll do something.
No, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. So, and that's the thing. If you looked at the scoreboard Sunday morning or Saturday night, there was probably, there was myself and another guy at 19 under. There were probably 10 to 15 guys within four strokes. So, and being a low scoring golf course, it was really just the guy that was going to go out there and shoot another 6, 7, 8 under par who was probably going to win.
Which
obviously would have liked that to be me. And yeah, exactly. I think the guy group in front of me shot, I think 6 under and won by 2. So, congrats to him. And yeah, it just shows you how competitive the guys are out here.
Well, I can hear it in your voice, mate, that you have a lot of energy, and I can also tell that you're up for it for the year, and I'm not worried about you at all. Is there any unbelievable talent that we should know of out there that you're looking at, some young guys that you're just saying, wow, are you looking at anyone that we should be on our radar?
It's funny. Someone asked me that last year, and the name that I came up with was Aaron Wise. And then he wins last year on the web and then wins this year on the PGA Tour at the Byron Nelson at Trinity Forest. For instance,
there's no hiding that talent, mate, is there?
There's not, no. You can tell, you can tell whether a kid's got it or not, and that kid's got it. There's a couple of guys out here this year. I'm sure you guys know the name Wyndham Clark.
Yes.
Came out of Oregon. He's pretty much, I think off the top of my head, has already wrapped up a card for next year, so definitely look for him. He's an unbelievable talent. He's probably the best I see out here right now. Another player who's only 19 is the guy that's leading the money list, Sungjae Im. He's a young Korean kid, and he won the first event in the Bahamas, and I think he's got quite a substantial lead on the money list right now, so pretty important for him to lock up number one, but look for him next year on the PGA Tour for sure.
So,
Frank, it's always very interesting to me to talk to the boys that are, you know, in the mix, mate. And Brian, of course, is in the mix, and I follow him very closely, of course, and him and Jason Gore and some of our boys that are on the web. Frank, do you have anything you would like?
I was looking at some of Rian's stats, and we talked about that earlier. I mean, he's almost 70% GIR, greens in regulation, 70%. Yet he's 94th on the web.com tour. That to me speaks to dart throwers. I mean, there are a bunch of dart throwers out there on the web.com tour. I enjoy watching that tour because the level of competition is incredible. Rian, what's up next for you?
So I am actually up in Erie, Pennsylvania. We have a web event up here at a course called Peak and Peak. It used to be back on the schedule back in the 90s, and they brought this event back. Actually have fond memories here. I lost a playoff here 2 years ago, so happy to be back. And see if I can kind of continue the form at least for the first 3 days last week and, you know, put myself in that contention again and have a better Sunday.
That's right.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you play somewhere. Did you happen to I wasn't here. I was traveling with the PGA Tour, but were you in Nashville for the web.com event here?
I was, correct. Yep.
Okay. What's your opinion, honest opinion of Nashville Golf and Athletic, that golf course?
The golf course itself?
Yeah, the course itself.
You know what? I
not to put you on the spot. I mean, I don't want to.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
I actually think the property itself and the layout is actually it's pretty good. My biggest, I wouldn't say gripe, but misunderstanding would probably be the size of the greens. I think over time the superintendents or the greenkeepers just let the Bermuda grass grow in, so the greens have shrunk probably from say a 5,000 square foot green to 3,000.
That's the common opinion of that golf course. It's those greens. That course was originally, by the way, designed to host a U.S. Open, as if the U.S. Open is going to come to Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, I actually thought I'd heard that, and I'm not sure what what happened, like if they ran out of money. But
yeah,
let's just say the USGA might get a few more non-inviting tweets if the U.S. Open was to go there.
Yeah, that golf course is, I played it a lot. I'm not a member out there. I'm a member at a different club here in Nashville. But it's not one of my favorites, only because it's just, for me, it's so difficult because of the size of those greens. It just...
It's difficult for us because, you know, if we're chipping or we get off, if we're in the sand, we have to carry the ball so far, and then you've got to land it so close to the flag because the green's so small. So it can become very difficult.
Yeah, and I think they turned it around for your tournament. So guess number one was 10 this year, which I don't agree with that. But anyway, let's get away from the negative and let's go back to some positive. Elk, okay. I really want to hear Rian talk about what was in his head when he's coming down the final few holes, looming below 60 in a tournament and about to shoot
way
the
below 60.
I know. I know. What was in your head, Rian? What was going through your head in that the final few holes of that round of golf?
I don't think too much, to be honest.
That's a Brooke Henderson answer. That's good.
Yeah.
Rian has a Guinness Book of Records 55 in Edmond, Oklahoma, right? It was a tournament?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was at my college home golf course and never shot in the 60s before. So that was kind of made the turn at 10 under, and that was my one goal for the day. It's past 71, so I knew I just needed a couple more on the front side because we started on the back. And kind of once I got to that sweet spot, I was – kind of told myself, well, let's see how crazy low I can go. And, you know, managed to birdie the last three. Shoot 16 under.
And crazy happened.
Yep, exactly.
Unbelievable.
Rian has a reputation of once he gets going, as he keeps going, Frank, and that's a good trait to have. I mean, we see that with some of the guys on the tour. Patrick Reed, when he gets going, he seems to keep going.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Is that something that you're aware of, or is that something you're known for? What is it? Once you get going, you just get out of the way, or?
Yeah, I'd probably boil it down to confidence. I'm a confidence player. If I know I'm playing well, or you know, I'm standing over a shot and I know I can hit it, you know, that's just it breeds confidence in me, and I just keep rolling with it, you know. So, for instance, the first round last week at Springfield, I shot 9 under with a double bogey. I had 9 birdies and an eagle. You know, and I felt good. I kept rolling and the hole looked big. And, you know, I was just kind of standing over putts thinking, I already know this is in. All I got to do is kind of hit it. So, like you said, I've been known to shoot some low ones and I'm not afraid to go low, which is probably, I mean, a good trait to have, especially out on this tour because it's so competitive. And some of the courses we play, you can really get after. I mean, there's been a lot of 59 shot on this tour just because of the golf courses that we play.
What do you tell a guy that an average amateur that is afraid to be, you know, 2 under his handicap and he's got a chance to go 3 under his handicap? It sounds to me you just sort of get out of the way. But what, you know the trend, Frank, right? You're doing well, and you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
I mean, in my personal opinion, normally how I approach it is when I play each hole individually. Best way I can explain it: I get up on the tee, I'm like, how can I play this hole to give myself the best opportunity to make a birdie or a score, right? Eagle, whatever. So is it a 3 iron to the 150 stake? Is it a drive right by the green? And then the second shot, for instance, would be, where do I need to leave myself on this green to give myself the best opportunity? So, you know, I'm kind of a percentage player, and I'm always just trying to give myself an opportunity to score. And if I can do that individually, I don't look at the total outcome, which I think where a lot of amateurs, you know, catch themselves. Oh, I'm 2 under through 12 holes. And thinking, well, let's just not screw this up. Well, for instance, if they went to the 13th and just said, hey, let's play this hole as best I can and add them up at the end, I think you're going to see amateurs' scores, you know, get lower.
That is so correct.
Pushing through that threshold there, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, that is so correct.
Well, mate, it's been fascinating for me to listen to this whole web.com tour. I've seen some of our, you know, players come through it. I'm feeling great about you, mate, and I love the energy you have in your voice, Frank. Rian's going to be, we're going to be talking about him on the tour next year, mate. We just got to finish out the year strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Rian, please don't be a stranger to Golf Talk America. We'd love to have you on PGAtour.com /podcast where we live. Anytime you want to come on and talk about whatever, it be golf or your favorite charity or just whatever.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, Al Kuntner knows me well enough. I'm kind of a golf geek, so I love to talk about it. I love questions about it. So if ever I can help you guys, or if ever you want my opinion on stuff, feel free to reach out.
Love to have you. Love to meet you face to face sometime. I'll get out there on the web.com tour some.
Yeah, absolutely. Look for us this week. We're actually televised on the Golf Channel this week up here at Peak and Peak. So hopefully I can get my ugly mug on TV.
Good luck, mate. Just keep the hammer down, mate. That's all you got
to
do.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Elk.
Play well.
Cool. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Ryan.
Bye.
Hey, so Elk, that's fun stuff. We've put together a pretty long show today, but a good show, and look forward to doing more of the secret golfers out there. You've got a great stable of players, if I can call it that, from the PGA Tour, LPGA, web.com tour. We need to plug in the media golf tour players and get 4 or 5 media players from, you know, I'm just thinking out loud, Elk, you know.
I didn't know that media played. I thought they just sat around. And
well, we'll have to cut that.
Make podcasts.
we'll have to cut that one, but that's okay. Wait, Jay,
sorry,
cut
rolling?
Out that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still rolling, but that's okay. Okay. That's why we're not live anymore on PGAtour.com. John Daly threw us under the bus the first time we did that. But anyway, hey everybody, it's been a great show. We've really enjoyed it. And Rian, thank you, Steve Elkington, my friend. Thank you so much. Everybody, go to secretgolf.com and check out what it's all about. You'll be pleasantly surprised. Sign up for it. It's very inexpensive, and it will be invaluable to help your golf game. For Steve Elkington, for Bryson Bregoon, for Rian Gibson, for me, Frank Bassett, and the absent Tim Matthews, who will be back. You've been listening to Golf Talk America, and we will see you tomorrow.